Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
We are in a series titled Commanding Lasting Results. Commanding Lasting Results. And this series has been inspired by our 10th year anniversary in existence as a ministry. Alive Bible Church, this May 2025, has turned 10 years in existence. And it is just also so coincidental that this is the month of workers, where we celebrate workers. By the way, if you are born in the month of May, you must understand that there is a great expectation placed on you, because this is the month of work. Praise the Lord. And you know, work is good, but working something, work that will last, is better. So many people work, but when it all said and done, sometimes there's nothing to show for all the work they did. If you want to look, just look at your ancestors. All your ancestors were working, each one of them. But today, we can't even trace a spoon. I tell you, there's nothing that we can look and say, my ancestor left this, my ancestor left that. There's nothing. To the most part, maybe some of you do have some things they left, but usually there's nothing much. And you know, it's not supposed to be like that. I want you to know that this thing that is going on is wrong. And if you and I don't learn these principles I'm teaching this month, or the Lord has led us into this month, you'll be surprised that you too will wake. And if Jesus tarries 40, 50, 70 years from now, when we are all going to be with the Lord, your descendants will have nothing to say that this is what our ancestor left. That is what we are trying to avoid. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about commanding not just results, but lasting results. Lasting results. Because everybody is doing something, or everybody is busy in one way or the other, why not be busy with something that will last? But there's a deception out there that, as long as you're doing something. You see, because we all don't want to be home, so sometimes you just want to quickly go out there and show that you are also doing something. And sometimes you miss certain important principles that you need to ensure that that thing you are doing for 15 years, for 25 years, doesn't go to waste. That your whole life shouldn't just end like that. After going out for so long, after working so hard. So this is wisdom that God is bringing us this month. That in this month of work, as we are celebrating 10 years of ABC, and as we are looking forward to 10 more years of ABC by the grace of God, that we should know what causes things to last longer. That's a very, very important principle. The Bible says our foundational scripture is the book of John 15, verse 16. The Bible says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." Bear fruit. Say with me, results. 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 God doesn't choose you to sit around. God doesn't choose you to watch others do. No, God chooses you to go and also get something done. That you might go and bear fruit. I expanded on this last week. If you miss it, please just go on Facebook, go on YouTube, go on Castbox, find my message, commanding lasting results. That is what I preached on last week. He said, you bear much fruit, but then he adds something, fruit that will last. And that is where our series is coming from. And so, that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. Praise the Lord. Fruit that will last. Church members that will last. Programs that will last. Activities that will last. Songs that will last. Do you know that we are still singing songs of dead people? Their songs have stood the test of time. We are still singing their songs today. Some of them have died, I mean, centuries ago. But these songs are still being sung. And then you have people that are alive right now and kicking, but we've forgotten their songs. We've forgotten all their songs. They are still in the system. They are still around. They are pushing their stuff on YouTube, on all the platforms. They are there presently. I mean, they are pushing it, but nobody remembers the songs. There are people that wrote songs centuries ago. They are not there to push YouTube. They are not there to push anything. But the songs have remained. I'm reading right now from a book called the Book of John. John is not around. The man died a long time ago. I mean, at least 2,000 years ago when John wrote this. But I'm still reading John today. Maybe in the course of my preaching this morning, I'm going to read Moses. You're talking about 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. There are authors that are currently alive, pushing a book a month. Like they push new books every single, I mean, ever so often there's a new book that they release. Nobody remembers those books. Nobody refers to those books. Nobody even read those books. Even their friends don't read those books. Even their wives don't read those books. They write them and they read them alone. They feel these are great books, but they are the only one who feel like that. The thing hasn't lasted. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. I think it was in 2009. If I can't remember well, I was present now, somewhere there, that Usain Bolt broke the world record of 100 meters. I think 8.98 seconds for 100 meters. Do you know that until now, as I'm talking to you here in 2025, that record hasn't been broken? I've got a brother from Botswana that broke the record of Usain Bolt on how many times an athlete could run under 10 seconds. Usain Bolt did it 10 times. This guy had done it 11 times. So he broke the record of Usain Bolt in terms of running many times under 10 seconds. But the record of the 100 meters record that Usain Bolt hit in 2009 is still there. It has lasted. It has lasted. So it's not enough to do something. You see, it is also important that what you do stand the test of time. It's not enough to build a house. I mean, it's, you would put a lot of energy. I remember there was a time my wife started building a house. She built and reached a certain level and the whole thing collapsed. And after it collapsed, guess what? She had to start from zero. That is one of the reasons why I'm taking you through this series. Because it is very frustrating and very painful to start over again on something you thought you had already done. It causes major delays to your life. You had crossed a bridge, but then it seemed like you didn't cross it. You have to cross it again. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. So we one of the reasons why our continent is backward and many of our societies and communities are, is because we are forever starting again. You will find us building a road as if it is now that we have discovered this road. But if you check, if that road was built before, but it wasn't done properly. So we have to start over again on it. Fans are going on it. Time is going on it. Efforts are going on it. And even lives are being destroyed there. Are you here? Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. You see, we are busy with church work. Do you know that there are churches that have been around for more than 200 or 300 years? What did those, the founders of those churches died a long time ago, but the churches are still in place. Now, we have founders that are alive. As I'm talking about, founders are alive. The church has died, but the founder is alive. But we have other churches. The founder is dead, but the church is alive. And you have founders that are alive. COVID-19 itself, it just cleared a lot of them. So many churches were cleared. It's by the grace of God that we have survived. And you see, you need to ask yourself, what causes a church to stay longer? Why is it that one church is here today, gone tomorrow? Another one has been there before you were born. It is still there. It has supervised you during your Sunday school, during your primary, secondary, university, until your birth, and you also got, and the church is still there. There's something. Praise the Lord. And that is what we want to talk about this month. Proverbs 9, verse 11. The Bible says, for through wisdom, your days will be many. Through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. So you see, for you to last is not how strong you are. There is wisdom that causes your days to be many. There is a wisdom that causes the days of a book to be many, the days of a song to be many, the days of a church to be many, the days of a marriage to be many, the days of a business to be many. There is a wisdom that manipulates the thing. He says, through wisdom, your days will be many. Through wisdom. And years will be added to your life through wisdom. And I guess we are here this month to unravel this wisdom. What is this wisdom that will cause your days to be many and your years to be added? That's the wisdom we are here to unravel. Because if you don't have this wisdom, immediately your days become short. All of the sudden your ministry doesn't go far. All of the sudden, whatever you are doing, just move from here to here and then it's over. But another person, he does the same thing you are doing and he continues going. So there's a wisdom that is applied. Proverbs 8 verse 18. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. Enduring wealth. This is still wisdom talking. Wisdom says, with me there is riches and there is honor. And there are enduring wealth, meaning wealth that endure, something that stays for a long time. So you see, for anything to last longer, it needs wisdom. It needs wisdom. And I was sharing with you last week that for us to keep meat today in a place for months and it doesn't spoil, there's a wisdom that we are using, the wisdom of refrigeration. There's a wisdom. And once you start using that wisdom, something that was supposed to spoil start lasting. There's a wisdom that will cause your relationships to last. And there's a lack of wisdom that will be responsible for all your relationships not going far. People are connected to you. Even in the church, people are connected to you for just 2 months. Then they part ways. Another person, people have been with him since 19-something. They are still with him. There's a wisdom. And you know, the more things stay with you, the new one just come and pile up. And that is the secret behind prosperity and wealth in any field, is that you don't lose what you have. Jesus said, of those who gave me, I did not lose any except the son of perdition. So there is a wisdom that Jesus had that allowed him to keep everything that he had till the very end. It is not wisdom to keep losing things simply because you can get them back again. A time is coming where you no more have the strength to go for them. You will not have the strength anymore.
So we work so that we build things and systems around us so that when you cannot work any longer, those systems can start helping you. That's the wisdom. So when you work for things and then they get lost and then they get spoiled and then they get destroyed, you find yourself at a certain stage now where you cannot work anymore and yet there is nothing to sustain you. Because everything you got, you lost. Are you getting what I'm talking about? And that's the whole point. I'm just trying to help you understand why we need this. Why do we need this? Why do you need... Don't just go for a relationship. And you don't have the wisdom of how to maintain that relationship. Don't just get involved in a thing. Because you see, I think we have been deceiving to just do it. Like we just want to get something going. As to whether or not the thing will last, it doesn't seem to matter to us. It doesn't seem to matter. And you notice that for you to prosper, for you to you shouldn't lose what you had at first. Otherwise, you keep starting over again. And Jesus, I think the Lord gave a very good illustration in this, in the book of Haggai, when he talks about you earn wages to put them into bags with holes. Like it goes into a bag, but the bag has a hole, so the thing goes and falls, and then you have to, like you keep putting things, but nothing stays. That's the pain of starting over again. May the Lord deliver us from such. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So last week I promised you that I was going to start to now give you some keys, that meaning the wisdom. You see, this wisdom that causes things to last. So this morning, principles for lasting results. Principles for lasting results. 5 important things you must do. If you want to last, if anything you do is going to last. And can I tell you something? Lasting is a big deal. You start the race, but you don't last, you will not finish it. When we used to wish kings well years ago, we say, long live the king. Not rich be the king. Long live the king. Like, that was more important than anything else. Long live the king. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Long live the king. Long live the king. So life itself is the most important thing that you should focus on. May the Lord bless his word. So let's look at 5 things that you must do. Are you ready for this? Like if you want to last, and whatever you are doing, if it should last or if it's going to last, these 5 things, you must get into them. And next week, I will give you 5 things you shouldn't do. Because we are just looking at 10 years, and so I'm giving you 10 principles. 5 things to do and 5 things you shouldn't do. Let's start with the 5 things you should do. If you're going to last, if what you're going to do is going to last, number one, start early. Start early. Start early. Start early. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 27. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. While he is young. The NIV version of it, I think the NLT version says, and it is good, that was the NIV. Now the NLT says, it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. At an early age. Can I tell you something? Most of the things that you see lasting long, people started working on them early. Bill Gates didn't just bump into Bill Gates like when he's 40 or 60. No. Very, very early. It takes time to understand the concepts. It takes time to make mistakes and figure out what actually works. So the later you start, the more complicated you are making the thing for yourself. Okay, you want to get married and you want your marriage to last, but you are getting married when you are 40. How long will that marriage now last? Because you are not getting married when you are 40. I don't think you are Methuselah. If Methuselah, 969 years, okay, we understand. If he's getting married at 40, but we are not. There are no Methuselahs around. So you are getting married at 40, 45. You can already understand that this marriage might not last. Oh. Start early. Start early. Anything you start, start early. If the thing is going to last. Start early. You see yourself as a preacher, start early. Start early. Start preaching early. And then you learn how to preach well early. And then you now kick into the real preaching at the right time. And your preaching will last. Because you've discovered everything about preaching as early as possible. But you are waiting when you are 46. Then you are now saying, no, I feel God has called me to preach. Look, even to understand the scripture, to know the scriptures, just the knowledge of the scriptures, your head will burst. Your head will burst. Start early. Start early. It is good to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Early age. Look at all the people that have lasted to a generation or two generations. They started early. Tiger Woods, Michael Jackson, all these people that have lasted a generation or two generations. They started early. They started early. And that's another problem in our continent, is that people think they have time. They take their time. They relax. They're taking it one day at a time. My God. I said, we end up handing over nothingness to the next generation. Because you started so late, by the time you are clearing, you are leaving them with debts. Psalm 63 verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Early, early, early. Even the knowledge of God, you need to start early. You want to play soccer, start early. Anything that you're going to do that will have a lasting impact, you need to start early. You need to start early. There's a saying in our world that it is the early birds that catch the fattest worm. The best part of destiny is caught by those who start destiny early. Yes, I look back at 10 years of ABC and I realized that I started, God taught me to follow early. Early. When I was there, I didn't know how to run church, but God used YouTube to teach. I didn't know what I was doing, but he introduced me to preachers. I started watching them early. Early. So I got to learn certain principles quite early. That a pastor that is starting now, it might not be the same. It's even though I started not, I mean, I didn't start that early, but it was still okay by the grace of God. I read certain things early. I read certain books early. I mean, the first book I read from Bishop Doug was a little booklet called How to Start a Church. As I was reading the book, I realized God has already helped me to know some of the principles in the book. I was shocked. Start early. Read early. Pray early. Like, do certain things early. Bishop Dag, whose ministry today is all over the world. You must know how early he started. Bishop Dag was still in secondary school. He was praying 7 hours every day. My God. You see, those foundations are the ones that causes your building to go higher. When you start planting them earlier. As you grow older, other things become important. Like if I was to start following Bishop Dag, it would be a bit difficult. Because I would have learned so many other things that I also want to try. My mind was virgin. So it was ready to receive whatever was given to me. Start early. Now, somebody is watching and say, Pastor, hey, but me. Amen. No, it's never too late to start. Even today, you can decide, okay, my early is now. My early is now. My early is now. Start now. And see, that procrastination is what is not helping you and me. It's not helping you. It's not helping you. Yeah. You see, you don't understand something. You say, no, me, I don't want to get married now. This, I understand you. No problem. But listen to me. The longer you wait, the more things get complicated in the world where you are living. The person that you could have met will meet somebody else. That already is a problem for you. And that is not all. There will be other challenges that you're going to encounter, which is that maybe by the time you meet the person, she is no more liking this type, like your type. She was liking that type at a certain time, but now she doesn't like that type anymore. Because she watched a movie, she had friends, and all of that changed. That changed. Okay, let's maybe agree that she meets you, and then now you are okay. You are starting the thing. You still need time to raise the money for this, to go see the parents, to do this, to prepare for this, and then to now go and starting life together in the same place. I mean, and then have your first baby, and then see your baby go, and then, first of all, carry the pregnancy till completion, then have your first baby, then the baby now must start sucking milk. Do you see that whole process? And you want to start when you are 30, 40. These things? No. Start early. It will help you. Number two, wait for the perfect timing. Start early, meaning start learning the thing early, but don't jump quickly to start coming out. Wait for the perfect timing. There is a timing that is allocated for you. When you come out at that time, what you do will last. If you come too early, you will abort the thing. If you come too late, you will become irrelevant. Wait for the perfect timing, or shall I say, go out only at the right time. At the right time. Now, John 7 verse 6, therefore Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. He says, I know you guys, like you think you can just do things at any time. He said to them, my time hasn't come. He is the savior of the world. He knows that God sent him, but he is still waiting for the perfect time. The very God who sent him, look at Galatians 4:4, NLT version, the Bible says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. The right time. I mean, God is the owner of time. But even himself, he submitted himself to the right time. He didn't say, no, I own eternity, I own everything, go at any time, it's okay. Do you know why the impact of Jesus is lasting 2,000 years and counting? Not only was he sent at the right time, when he got here, he waited for his right time. If he had come too earlier, he was going to clash with John the Baptist. If he had come too late, he was going to miss Pilate. Pilate was not going to be there to crucify him. Many things was not going to happen. Timing has to be perfect for what you do to last. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. There is a time for everything. What that verse is saying is, and then a season for every activity under the heavens. What the verse is telling you, my brother, is that every time is not the right time. Every time is not the right time. There is a time to do something. Many a times, the things we do, they don't have the impact they were supposed to have, and they don't last as much as they could have lasted, because either we went too early or we went too late. Uh-oh. it at the right time. The right time. That's when it works. You know, there was a time when if you had a typewriter, oh, it was working. That was the right time. Go and buy a typewriter now. Even dash it for free. People will insult you. Like you bring a typewriter, you know, this is your birthday gift. I'm offering my... You know what? It's a gift, but you are coming at the wrong time. This is no more time for typewriters. If you start a typewriter's business now, it will not even last one day. But there was a time when if you had a typewriter, or if you were doing typewriter businesses, you were going to make a lot of money. Today, if you want to decide to have this business of renting out movies, look, you are on your own. You are renting out movies. You want to, you go and hire a hall, and you are saying you are renting out movies to people. There was a time to rent out movies. Now, it is no more the time. Today, with your phone, you can access any movie, anywhere, anytime. So, movies are no more rented that way. And that is how everything else is. There is a time where when you do it at that time, it will have the impact. It will last. It will touch people. It will affect people. If you do it later, you've missed it. You are doing the right thing, but it's too late. It's too late. Sister, you are falling pregnant. It is right to fall pregnant, but you are falling pregnant late. You are falling pregnant late. Now you are endangering your life and the life of the baby. Most babies that you give birth to after you are 40, those babies come with all kinds of problems, you know. It is proven scientifically that if you give birth at age 40, 45, the chances of the baby being normal are close to zero. Well, not close to zero. Let me not exaggerate. The child will be okay, but there will be difficulties with the child. So the thing is right, but the timing is wrong. The thing is right. So for your business to have a lasting impact, you must trust God to give you wisdom to launch the business at the right time. There is a right time to enter ministry. There is a right time to enter full-time ministry. There is a right time to start preaching. There is a right time to start doing the thing you are supposed to do. If you wait for too long, by the time you now wake up, you say, I feel it is time for me to start preaching. People will say, Papa, go and sit down and listen. Because even the revelations that we are using right now, a few years ago, those revelations were like garbage to people. And back then, there were other revelations that God was busy with. And now, if you go and it's like, I'm not saying that the word of God changes. I'm just saying that sometimes the emphasis is different. Even the scriptures, there are times when certain scriptures, I remember there was a season where Jeremiah 29:11. I mean, anywhere you go, I know the plans I have for you. That was the season. Now you can quote Jeremiah 29:11. I tell you, people say, we'll be blessed, but you see, it's not be the same like then. The time must be right for the thing to last. The thing to last. I don't know if you've ever come across somebody very gifted, but you're wondering, why is it not shining? Why is it not out there? There's a reason. Maybe he didn't start early. Or maybe after he started early, he waited too long. He kept polishing. You know, perfectionist. You keep polishing the thing. Polishing the thing. No. I'm still waiting. By the time you're not coming to give us the thing, I mean, we've been waiting for you to bring the food. We wait. They say, no, let me add a bit of salt. Let me add a bit of this. By the time you are bringing the food, we have been busy with snacks. So we are full. And you are coming with a very nice dish. You have prepared a powerful sermon. You have done so many things. But people are no more interested. Are you getting what I'm saying? Today, you see, everybody is on YouTube. I'm on YouTube right now, but I'm not the only one. There was a time when YouTube didn't exist. Do you know why people like Benny Hinn and all of them became so great so quick? It's because at that time, there was only like maybe one or two TV channels, Christian TV channels. So if you were present in those TV channels at that time, your impact was, I mean, international, instantly. That was the time for it. Today, as I'm preaching here, another person is also preaching. So you now need to use other timing. There must be something else you are doing in this time that will cause you to have a bit of effect. Otherwise, it might not last. Might not last. So maybe God has called you in the world of business. The business idea God has given you has a time. If you release it at that time, people will buy the thing. But by the time you realize, you are not coming with the business idea, but the time has elapsed. People are no more interested in that. Like that problem is, I mean, now you decide to open a factory of masks. Like a mask, you know the mask. You are not opening a whole factory. It's no, I'm selling professional masks. Okay. Look, you are doing something great, but COVID-19 has passed. May God help you and me from today. Do not allow your time to pass you by. There is a time to study. There is a time to get married. There is a time to start having children. There is a time to start preaching. There is a time to start preaching properly. Don't wait forever. By the time you are preaching properly, everybody has left the church. Don't think you have forever to do what God has called you to do. You have a time to do it. If you miss it, by the time you want to do it, another person's time will have kicked in, and then you're going to start becoming jealous. That is the cause of all the jealousy and the things that you see in the world, is that God gave you your time. The Bible says time and chance is given to all. But what you do with your time and your chance depends how long you will stay in the game. How long you will stay in the game. So when you miss your time and your chance, by the time you open your eyes, a David has been raised now. And then you start fighting David because his time is kicking in and your time is elapsing. Even in the church, precious people of God, there is a time for your beauty to shine. I always see when my daughters, it is the time of this one. It is her time. And you see, instead of you quickly getting married and moving on, you want to stay in that time. You want people to see, say, oh no, you look so nice. And say, before you realize, another person's time will kick in and people will stop thinking about you. When your time comes, maximize your time, secure your thing, catch what you can catch and move on. Move to another time zone. If you stay there, others will come and meet you there. There is a time to become a pastor. There is a time to become a shepherd. There is a time to become a cell leader, a center leader. When it is your time, become the thing, developing the thing, and move to the next season. Otherwise, the ones coming behind will catch up with you and even leave you there. A lot of people get stuck because of the applause, because of the attention. And they are deceiving to thinking the attention will always be there. Brother, it is your season, but that season is going to elapse. You want to last? Never miss your timing. When it's time to do this, do it. When the time changes, jump, move to the next thing. That's how you last. If you insist that, no, me, this is what I want to do. That's the thing. We say now you have become irrelevant. You are still doing the thing, but you are irrelevant. You are alone there in your corner. Have you heard those people that we usually say he has missed his time? Like they are working against the tides. Now the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. You always know you are on time because of how easy it gets. You can see that things are flowing. You know, when we announce your marriage, people are happy. People are there. I mean, everything is flowing. When we announce your wedding and it's only 5 people that came to church that day, hello, you've missed your time. We are now colliding things to make it work. When I was getting married, certain people were around. And the Lord told me, get married now. If I had waited, some of them, a week after my marriage, they left. People started going. It was going to be a mission to bring them back in the same place. And when the time of your marriage is over, move to the next season. For you to remain relevant and to continue lasting. There was a time all I was doing was singing. I was singing. That's what I was doing. That was the time. And a time came, God started training me to preach. So I started moving towards preaching. You see, if I had stayed in singing, you are going to imagine, you come to church today, ooh, ya, ha, la, le, la. Ooh, ya, ha, la, le, la. You are going to see me, I'm in the church, 40 something years old, fighting with a small keyboard. Ooh, ya, ha, la, le. And getting mad that people are not enjoying my song. This is the cause of witchcraft in the church. The old ones don't want to let go of the spot. They want to stay there. And they see the young one coming and they are intimidated by the young ones. They don't understand. You see, there was a time when you were doing this thing, it worked. Now it is no more. It is no more working. It is no more working. Move to the next thing. Move to the next thing. Number three, are you blessed by? You see? Number three, be in the will of God. Be in the will of God. 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away, and the last of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Lasting impact is connected to the will of God. You cannot last if you are outside the will of God. Because the world is passing away. So whenever you are doing something, if it is not in the will of God, let me tell you something, the thing is going to pass away. Whatever you are doing that is not in the will of God will pass away. It will pass away. It is the will of God that makes you unmovable. When you are in the will of God, you are unstoppable. When you are in the will of God, you are basically invincible. If you are in the will of God. That's why I'm saying, first principle, start early. Second principle, note, identify your timing. Third principle, be in the will of God. Make sure that whatever you are doing is the will of God for your life. Don't get involved in things because other people are doing them. That's why it doesn't last. Because that was not the will of God for you. You saw it with somebody and you wanted the thing. That is what we call lust. 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 L-U-S-T. He says the world is passing away and the lust. Let me rather say lust. If I say lust, it's like lust. If I say lust, it's like somebody is lost. I don't even know how to say that. You know, L-U-S-T. The lust of it. Those two things, the world and the lust, they are passing away. The only thing that will stay is the will of God. The will of God. What is lust? Lust is a strong and intense desire, an overwhelming craving for something like sex, power, wealth, fame, material possessions. You see, sometimes you think lust is only for sex. It's not. You can lust after cars. You can lust after people's houses. You can lust after anything. Now, when you are doing something, now let me start it from the beginning. 1 John 2:16. If we start from 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the last of it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. How does lust manifest itself? Number one, ungodly ambition. Ungodly ambition. Genesis 11 verse 4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is into the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of all the world. Ungodly ambition. These guys wanted to make a name for themselves, and they started building the Tower of Babel. And you and I know that that was supposed to be the biggest human project that has ever existed. And today, as I'm talking to you, the Tower of Babel is nowhere to be found. There are many believers that are busy with Towers of Babel. It is not for the glory of God. It is not to the will of God to be manifested. It is for themselves. It is to make a name for themselves. They want to stamp the book. Brother, I hope you are not busy with Babel Towers. Huh? You're going up and down. I hope you are doing the will of God. Because if it is not the will of God you are busy with, I can assure you, it will be cleared. It will be cleared. Lust also manifests through jealousy and envy. In other words, like I was saying earlier, you see somebody with something and you become jealous. And all of a sudden, you also want the thing. So you start getting involved in the project, not because God assigned you for the project, but because you have seen somebody have something and you also want to have it. Jealousy and envy. Many things that people are busy with, it's really not that that's what God wants for them. It's that they saw something and they want it. They want it. And then they start killing things around. And you don't understand. Whatever you are busy with, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Number three, unhealthy comparisons. They are similar. You comparing yourself with this person. Oh, no, he's driving this car. I must also drive that car. And you start fighting for the car. That car will not last. You are not seeking the will of God. You are comparing yourself with other people, and you are finding your value in being bigger than these people. So you will make sure that what you have is bigger than what they have. You are not into the will of God. You are into lust. You are into lust. You can't believe God established Saul, but the kingdom of Saul never lasted it didn't last long. Why? Because Saul became jealous of a young boy called David. And he lost his entire kingdom because of jealousy. His kingdom did not last because he forgot the assignment God gave him and started fighting a young boy. That's why his kingdom didn't last. Are you led by jealousy? Okay, I want to ask you, the things you are currently busy with, what is the real motivation? Are you seeking the will of God? Are you busy with the will of God? Or you just also want to be important? You want to make a name for yourself? You want to have a name in the company? You want people to know? You want people to respect you? You want people to fear you? You are not different from the people of the Tower of Babel. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And God cleared that whole thing.
We are told in the book of Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise the Lord. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow. Prove the thing. Is this the good will of God? Is this thing the acceptable will of God? Is this thing I'm busy with the perfect will of God? The word of God is what we use to prove things. You are asking this morning, okay, Pastor, how will I know the will of God for my life? Well, the first agency that helps you to know the will of God for your life is the word of God. The word of God is where you find the mind of God. And the mind of God is the will of God. So if you want to know the will of God for your life, number one, get into the word. If you don't see it in the world, in the word, and you are busy with it, you are outside the will of God. Number two, seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't be led by ambition. Don't be led by comparisons. Don't be led by the spirit of jealousy. Don't be led by envy. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Many things that we do sometimes, it's not the Holy Ghost that led you to the thing. You are led by jealousy. You are led by envy. Even as pastors, I just need to see the pastor, the church of another pastor once. Then all of a sudden, is that what God is asking you to do right now? Before you realize you are not running helter-skelter, torturing your little members, forcing things out of them simply because you want this. You are not led by the Spirit. You are not led by the Spirit. You are not led by the Spirit. It is lust. And the Bible says lust will not last. Lust cannot last. You know what last? The will of God. The will of God. Another way for you to know the will of God for your life is through prayer. Through prayer. Luke 22 verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus prayed for the will of God to be done. You see, you know the will of God through the leading of the Spirit, through the word of God, and through prayer. Prayer. Most of us that are outside the will of God, check our lives, we don't have the word. We can't hear the Holy Spirit. And we don't have a good prayer life. So we end up being led by the world, not the word. By lust, not love. That we are being delivered this morning. Amen. As the word is coming. Amen. You see, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Put the will of God ahead of everything. Desire the will of God for your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these things will come. Yes, I know I told you to start early. And I also know I told you to take advantage of your right timing. But remember, start early seeking God. David says, early will I seek you. Early will I seek you. Jesus was 12 years old, finding the temple, asking questions and talking to the doctors. Early. Early. Bring God in your life early. Know the will of God for your life early. It will cause you to last long. It will cause you to last long. And can I submit to you? You start seeking God early. I can assure you, you will last. Because early you will have wisdom. Early you will avoid certain things that people do for many years before they realize they are wrong. And that's how you last. Your money will not be wasted into substances because you already know that this is the wrong way. So you can build things and move faster when you bring God into your life early, when you seek the kingdom of God early, when you seek the righteousness of God, it is a guarantee you will last. It is a guarantee.
It is a guarantee. Number four. Remember I told you, I'm going to give you five keys today. Number four, build with God. Build with God. Don't only build with money. Build with God. If the building will last, don't only build with masons. Don't only build with architect. Build with God. Build with God. Build with God. Whatever you are busy with, be busy with God too. Hebrews 3 verse 4. Every house is built by someone. But the builder, but God is the builder of everything. God is the builder of every. Men can only build a house. God can build a life. God can build a mind. God can build a marriage. God can build a good children. God can build anything. God is the builder of everything. Build with God. Because you are busy with something, make God a great partner. I mean, Yonggi Cho used to say that the Holy Ghost is his senior partner. Make God your senior partner in what you are busy with. Build with God. I thank God you are getting new friends to help you. But are you getting God too in the picture? Or you have put God aside? God is there when there are problems. I run to God when my things are not working. As soon as my things start working, God is on the side. I continue with my real partners. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. Psalm 118 verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So they were building, but they rejected a particular stone. They saw a particular stone and they rejected that stone. They said, no, I don't need this stone. And the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And Jesus is this cornerstone that you are building without. Build with God. Psalm 127, verse 1 to 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders are laboring in vain. There's a lot of vain labor going on out there. Vain labor. You are just laboring in vain. It will go nowhere. The thing is not going to amount to much. Because God is not part of the equation. Laboring in vain. My people wake up every day, working hard, going to bed late, laboring in vain. They have forsaken God. Many don't even go to church again. God is not involved at any level of their life. Look at their parents. They are chasing the money. They've left God behind. When you go home today, show this verse to your father. Show this verse to your mother. Daddy, mommy, we need to build with God. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders are working in vain. They are working. But it will mean it will go nowhere. It will go nowhere. Lastly, as I close, check your foundation. Check your foundation. These are five things to do. Number four, build with God. Number three, be in the will of God. Number two, get in the thing at the right time. Number one, start early. Number five, check your foundation. Psalm 11 verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Being righteous doesn't help if the foundations on which you are building are destroyed. You will turn just like your siblings that don't go to church because the foundations are destroyed. The foundations are destroyed. If the foundations are destroyed, the Bible says even the righteous cannot survive. God cannot guarantee your success if you are building on destroyed foundations. As I close this morning, this is behind the frustration and the amazement and the confusion sometimes of many believers that they can't understand. I even go to church, I do everything pastor is saying, but I'm still not making it. I'm still losing jobs. I'm still getting involved in car accidents. I'm still finding myself starting over and over again. I'm still unable to get married. I'm still unable to have a house. Like, you see, you are righteous. You follow the four things I said, but check your foundations. Check the foundations. What am I talking about? You see, the foundation is the unseen part of a building. We see you today, but we don't see those who were there before you. What did they do? Foundation talks of founders. The place on which the thing is founded. Founders. The people that were there first. That's the foundation. You are coming today as an offshoot of something. You are not in the air. You belong somewhere. There's a foundation that was there before you came. Now, the Bible says, even though you are righteous, even though you know God, even though you are seeking God, even though you are doing it even early, check the foundations. Because if the foundations are destroyed, it will lead to your undoing. You and I will find ourselves repeating the same class like unbelievers. Haven't you seen it happen to us? Hey, what is happening to them is happening to us. Same house. It's as if we are not going to church. Meanwhile, we are going to church. The foundations. I want to show you something as I close, and I hope you never forget this till you die. Joshua 6:26. The Bible says, at that time, say with me, at that time. This is the time. What time is this? Now, Joshua has defeated Jericho. He has destroyed the entire Jericho. Jericho is on the ground. So now, at that time, Joshua invoked a curse. And this is the curse Joshua spoke. Joshua said, may the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. He says, may the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates. This was the curse. This curse was spoken by Joshua, that whoever tries to rebuild this particular city, you will lay the foundations with the life of your firstborn. And after you finish building, when you say it is done, your lastborn will also die. Now, I could take you to just a few chapters later, when a man rose and he decided to rebuild Jericho. And the Bible says, he laid the foundation with the life of his firstborn. Now, as he was laying the foundations of Jericho, his firstborn died. And when he was finished building the gates of Jericho, his lastborn died also. Tell me what this man did that was wrong. He paid all his employees. He did everything right. But his son died. Because the foundation he was building on was a curse. He didn't know that the thing he's doing already carries a curse with it. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your height. It doesn't matter your color. If you are doing this, you will get this. Because that is how it has been set. And this curse was set with words Joshua spoke. Now, do you know which words your founders spoke? As you are trying to rebuild something, or as you are building something right now, do you know what has been spoken before? Check the foundations. This is one major reasons why our things don't last. Our structures don't last. Our success doesn't last. Do you see? It's because there is a foundation that is faulty. I hope you are hearing me this morning. This is a deep revelation I'm giving you, that as you are here right now, don't just look at things. Go deeper. If you're going to last, you need to go deeper. First of all, ask yourself, how come nobody in your family has what you are trying to have? Don't you ask yourself that question. How come this thing now God says I can have? There's nobody that has it. Don't you realize that that in itself is your first test? Is your first, rather, your first sign that you are tampering with, you are going on dangerous waters? The word of God is saying a lot of nice things. But who has them in your family? Who has them? Yes, you are not coming to church. I'm saying, yeah, you're going to have it. Praise the Lord. Yes. Check the foundation. Check the foundation. Next week, I'm going to go deeper into these foundations. Because I can assure you, many believers are actually trying their best. But they are still not getting their rest. They're not getting the rest. Because they have no clue what is fighting them. This man couldn't explain why his firstborn died. And he couldn't explain why his lastborn died. And there was an explanation. The foundation. He was building on a faulty foundation. The Bible says in Matthew 7 verse 24 to 25. I'm closing with this. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, come on, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended. The floods came. Man, do you think the rains are coming to wash the house? Huh? They're coming to wash the walls? No. No. The Bible doesn't say the rain fell. It's the rain descended. The floods, not the flood, the floods. They came. Did they come to help the house? These are things that have resisted. They are saying, what is this house doing here? There's not supposed to be a house. There mustn't be a house. What is this house doing here? The rain is coming to challenge the existence of the house, to challenge the longevity of the house, to challenge the lasting of the house. The floods are saying, the rain didn't do a good job. We are coming. This house must come down. What are they doing? You have a joy, yo. You have results. But they shouldn't last. You've built a house. We came for housewarming. But the house shouldn't last. The house shouldn't last. You got married. We celebrated that your wedding day. But the marriage shouldn't last. The rains are coming. The floods are coming. These are forces of darkness that are coming against the house. The winds blew. And the Bible says, and they beat on that. They beat. Are these winds for what? What is going on with the wind? Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. The wind blew. You will remember Jesus one day was going to the territory of Gadara. And in the middle of the sea, a storm came from nowhere. Because the storm is the mixture of water and the wind. Come on now. The wind blew and beat at that house. What was the reason for the flood? The rain, the floods, and the wind. The thing must come down. This result must not last. This thing must not stay. This ministry should not remain. This cell must not stay. This marriage must not stay. This job should not stay. That's why the things are beating on all sides. You look at the thing, it looks like people, but in the realm of the spirit, it is winds. In the realm of the spirit, it is floods. In the realm of the spirit, it is rains that are coming at you. And the purpose is one. You must calm down. But the Bible says, and it did not fall. Hallelujah. The house did not fall despite the beating and the shifting and the shaking. The house did not fall. You know why the Bible said it? Because that was the purpose. The intention was to get the house down. The Bible says, for it was founded on the rock. The right foundation. The right foundation. Anything else, if you keep reading, same house, but this time, build on sand. Hey. Little water. Little wind. Little flood. We check the foundation. Check your foundation. Is your foundation the rock, meaning Jesus, the word of God? Or is your foundation sand, ancestors, selfish ambitions, curses, all kinds of things? Check the foundation. What are you founded on? What are you building from? This will determine if your ministry will last, if your marriage will last. Not that you might not get married. Many get married, but it doesn't last. Many get jobs, but it doesn't last. That's the point. The point is not to just get results. The point is the results must last. That's what this preaching is here. We are here for things to last. And you are now seeing that there are three enemies that will test your work. You will test it. The floods, the rains, and the winds. But if your house, if your marriage, if your life, if your ministry, if your business, anything you are busy, if it is founded on the rock, the Bible says it will not fall. May that become your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Can you stand on your feet this morning? Let's start thanking God for the word that has come today. Come on, just open your mouth and start thanking God right now that you have received direction and guidance for your life. From today like this, you can decide that I will found everything I do on the word of God, on the rock, on the rock, on the rock. I will not be moved. I will not be moved. Mashantenema, mashekatema. Father, bring a judgment on the foundations of my life right now. A judgment on the foundations where I am building from. What am I building with? Where am I standing as I'm building? Am I on stand? Am I standing on sinking sand? Or am I standing on the rock? Open your mouth and begin to pray. Every faulty foundation on which your life is built, may it be removed. May it be removed. May your foundations be cleansed through the blood of Jesus. Mashekatema. Somebody is praying. Somebody is praying. This is a very important message for your life, my brother. This is a very important message for your life. I tell you, this is why things are not moving. You need to check the foundation. Check the foundation of your life. Ndegaziga de brezo kate kapenemanda. Regezde brekate fele katore pelemanda. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, Malika Zupeleda, Chapele Dikaveya, Mesepreketakoya. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? My God, my God, my God. I want you to now pray that the Lord will start showing you what is wrong with your foundations. What is going on with your foundations? What are you founded on? Father, reveal to me the foundations on which I've been building. Masika Nemo, Kazipa Nema, Meshekateya, Masokotema, Mekatakopa, Mashekateya, Sakete Kapa, Mekopokata. We tear down evil foundations. We tear down evil foundations. Malebela, wrong confessions, curses on which our lives are being built. Jesus, Jesus, my life must be built on the word of God. The rock, the rock, the cornerstone, the builder. I will not reject the stone. I will not reject the rock. Jesus told Peter, you are the rock. On you I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you, my brother. Because you are built on the rock. You are built on the word. Build your life on the word. Build your life in prayer. Build your life in the promises of God. Don't build your life on the past. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mi debeleka supre katefala demanda. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I feel God wants to destroy the foundations on which we've been working on. That's why we keep repeating the same things. Because we are doing the right thing on top, but the bottom is spoiled. The bottom is spoiled. This morning, I pray that the Holy Ghost will enter your foundation. Lele la le, sole male, sakole male, sevele gedema, meko de male, sakele mandone ma, mashakate manama, akele mandene manama, rekato presi katevele kado bedema, merefele zibre kato refele mandene ma. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are now building with God. We are building according to the will of God. We are checking the foundations. We are starting early. Oh, we are waiting for the right time. And when we are on time, we jump in it. We jump in the pot. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. La lo melea, sakole melea, santele malea, sole melegalea. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you praise for your word that has come this morning to deliver us, that has come this morning to enlighten us, that has come this morning to set us free, to cause us to have a firm place to stand. We give you praise. Before I go this morning, if you are watching and you are not born again, I can assure you for free, you are building on sand. You are building on sand. It won't last. It won't stand. What you build on sand won't stand. Choose Jesus this morning. Let him be your Lord and your Savior. Let him be your King and your Master. It's not a bad decision. It's the right choice. The choice is yours. He says, I've placed before you life and death, blessing and curses. Do you know people choose these things? Choose life this morning. At the count of three, you say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven.
I'll pray with you. 1, 2, 3. Your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Are you already born again? But this morning you want to recommit yourself to God. I also want to pray with you. Pastor, pray with me. I feel I need to start with God. I need to start early. I want to fix my foundations. Your foundation can be ambition, comparisons, all kinds of things, jealousy. The motivation is not the will of God. The motivation is to be great for yourself. That's a faulty foundation. Maybe this morning you are saying, I want to clear those sandy foundations, sinking sand, and build on the rock, which is the word of God, which is the will of God. Pastor, I want you to commit my life to Jesus. At the count of three, you can reach your right hand. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Now we're going to pray together. I want you to repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus. Say it again. Dear Lord Jesus. I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. My ignorance. My disobedience. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now. I believe. My sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.